She has renounced her claim on the son of Adam's blood.
How do I know your promise will be kept?
Welcome to Talking Beasts.
From NarniaWeb.com.
Where we explore the world of C.S. Lewis.
And keep a watchful eye.
On the latest Narnia movie news, this
is Talking Beasts.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rillian.
And I'm Jim Fan.
And I'm Glumpuddle. Doesn't that just make you want to buy a Talking Beast mug?
You can't see the mug. It's a podcast. It's an audio podcast. You can't see the product placement.
But you could hear it. It's like you're actually there.
Sounded like you were using a straw, though.
So I thought, why is he using a straw? This guy drinks coffee with a straw?
If you want to drink out of your Talking Beast mug with a straw, obviously I'm not going to judge that. But the characters in the logo don't appear to be doing that. So,
And it's not a Talking Beast straw. When the Talking Beast straws are available on April 1st of 2019, then you can order them.
All right. I forgot to ask you to plug the mugs really quick. Can I do that?
Go ahead.
So the Talking Beasts and NarniaWeb mugs are now available, and they're still available. They just at the time of this recording, they just very recently became available. And you'll get, if you live in the United States, you'll get free shipping through the end of December. And if you live outside the United States, you get a discounted shipping. And these are all about, well, first off, cool mug. Our podcast has merch. How cool is that? But also just supporting NarniaWeb, you know, all about our vision of trying to obviously provide the latest Narnia movie news, be an internet hub for people who love the Chronicles of Narnia, and amplify the voices of fans that love Narnia and want the filmmakers to treat it with respect. So if that's a mission you want to support, and if you want the podcast to keep going, would cordially ask for your support if you would buy a mug or more. And also, hey, it's a Talking Beast logo mug. How neat is that? Thank you, AJ Aiken, who's also the assistant editor.
Yeah, the mugs look fantastic. I'm so happy that we got them.
They do look fantastic, and kudos to AJ Aiken for the design. I'm excited to get one, and it is cool to support NarniaWeb because, I don't know about the big bucks that Glumpuddle has rolling in, but like we don't get financially compensated for this, and I won't name names, but it was actually funny because Glumpuddle and I discovered that there was someone recently who we got the impression, oh, they actually think that we have an office space, and like and then we actually get together and work on this. Like, this is not. Yeah, we're not the New York Times, so...
NarniaWeb is just dedicated volunteer fans who just believe in it.
Strewn across the globe.
Yep.
So it's pretty cool. And I'm looking forward to getting one.
Yep. One of the mugs, by the way, has a lion on it. That's your transition.
Speaking of lions, there's a lion in the Chronicles of Narnia, and we're actually going to talk about that.
And a witch in a wardrobe.
You don't say.
It's such a deep podcast, the amount of depth you get in these books. Aren't you guys all glad you listened to this?
It's deep in something, but no, we did want to end, because this is our sad note season finale, and we wanted to end on a very important topic, and so we're going to talk about, really, you could argue, maybe the most important topic when you're discussing the books, and it kind of ties into another point of adaptations, because NarniaWeb is a lot of discussion about adaptations and different adaptations, especially film adaptations. And we're talking about adapting characters. And today we're discussing the character of Aslan. And it could be argued that really any Narnia adaptation to the silver screen will rise or fall based on how well the character of Aslan is adapted. And we're going to be talking about the character of Aslan and the different ways the character has been adapted in the past. But first, I'm going to get stumped. Well, actually, I'm going to be presented with a stump question, and I will be stumped or not at the end of this episode.
All right. For the last stump question of the season is, by my count in the Chronicles of Narnia, 6 stars and 3 constellations are named. How many can you name?
Ooh.
Okay.
All right. On to Aslan. And we will come back to that and see if you get it right at the end.
So let's go over a quick history of the different Aslans, and I feel kind of bad because I didn't. I'm leaving out theater adaptations of Aslan. But maybe you, Glenville, can maybe give more information on that because you have more information on those than I do. But some of the most famous ones is there was actually a black and white 1967 Lion, the Witch in the Wardrobe movie that has an Aslan. It was they used a man in a suit and standing on his standing on two legs.
You have a traitor there, Aslan.
His offense was not against you.
Have you forgotten the deep magic?
Let us say that I have forgotten. Tell us of this deep magic. I'm sad and tired. Give me a hand. Then I can feel that you're there in the dark.
And it's not a complete departure from the books, because there is a one very famous Pauline Baynes illustration that had Aslan standing with the White Witch with... Oh, you want to interrupt? Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say, I noticed that in the notes you were saying, oh yeah, based on the Pauline Baynes illustration, I just recently reread the line, The Witch in the Wardrobe, and I don't think you can definitively say that Aslan walks on four legs just by reading the book. In fact,
true.
He knights Peter and holds he indicates he's holding the sword. At one point, he claps his paws together, too. So it could... In later books, I think it becomes more clear that he's on four legs, but I was reading that kind of closely this time and went... Do I know Aslan's on four legs, technically?
No, I'll agree with you. I don't think that Pauline Baynes is wrong. I think that it's but no, I don't think that Aslan, it doesn't say Aslan has to walk on four legs. So that's not necessarily a departure from the book. There was also an animated Lion, the Witch in the Wardrobe movie that had Aslan as a big, tall cartoon lion with a huge mane, which I'll never forget.
That, O man, is Caer Paravel of the Four Thrones, in one of which you must sit as king. I show it to you because you are the firstborn, and you will be high king over all the rest.
Are you ill, dear Aslan?
No. I'm sad and lonely. Lay your hands on my mane so that I can feel you're there. And let us walk like that.
So those are two depictions of Aslan. There's also the very famous BBC Aslan. That was a giant kind of costume puppet and had a separate voice actor, is my understanding, for the character of Aslan. That had to kind of match the speed that they could move the mouth at. So that kind of impacted the performance there.
We have come, Aslan.
Welcome, Peter, son of Adam. Welcome, Susan and Lucy, daughters of Eve. And, beavers, welcome to you, who have guided the sons of Adam and daughters of Eve so bravely to me. But where is the fourth child? Here, you must stop. And whatever happens, do not let yourselves be seen, or your lives will be in danger. Remember, do not let yourselves be seen.
And that Aslan was kind of obviously had to be a little more stationary because he couldn't move as quickly. Then there's another famous Aslan played by David Suchet in the audio dramas of produced by Focus on the Family Radio Theater. And David Suchet is known for, I'll just say it, he's known for being the best and worst Aslan simultaneously.
Yeah.
A lot of people mock his voice, and then there's other parts that are, you know, very otherworldly and sound like it could be from Aslan. That's more my personal opinion.
A king. Me.
Look there, to the east. That, O man, is Caer Paravel of the Four Thrones, in one of which you must sit as king. I show it to you because you are the firstborn, and you will be High King over all the rest.
Are you ill?
No. I am sad and lonely. Lay your hands on my mane so that I can feel you are there, and let us walk like that.
I think it's fair to say there was a range in how he portrayed the character. Not that it was all inconsistent, but there were definitely a lot of variations in how he did the tone and the scene, as opposed to the BBC Aslan, which was a little more, very much more steady, to say the least. And finally, there's the Aslan that most people are probably familiar with by now, and that's the one from Walden Media, voiced by Liam Neeson.
Welcome, Peter, son of Adam. Welcome, Susan and Lucy, daughters of Eve. And welcome to you, Beavers. You have my thanks, but where is the fourth? It is time. From here, I must go on alone.
But Aslan...
You have to trust me, for this must be done. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Lucy. And farewell.
And that was its own journey in finding out who the voice actor was going to be. And it's also the first time that Aslan has been completely computer-generated in a film. We asked in the Talking Beasts Facebook group, because it's fair to say, whatever anyone's opinions are, there is no one Aslan that has a ginormous consensus, I think, of this is the perfect Aslan. They got the character perfect. There's no improvements to be made. And so we asked, why is the character so hard to get right? And do you have a favorite depiction of Aslan, or a least favorite? And if so, why? And we got a variety of responses. Kenzie Baker said, I remember going to see The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe in theaters when I was 8. I loved the story already and was already somewhat aware of how stories can become distorted in film. I just remember thinking, quote, as long as Aslan is awesome, I can forgive anything else, unquote. And so that's kind of an interesting point, emphasizing just how important the character is and how if you completely botch the character, do you even really have a Narnia film? RJ Conti said, Liam Neeson is the only Aslan I'll accept. His voice is perfect and the animation is spot on and amazing. Clifford Close said, I know that this is an unpopular opinion, at least among the podcast hosts, but I always loved David Suchet's portrayal of Aslan in the radio theaters. He could be so animalistic and otherworldly, and I loved it. Ellie Arnott said, as a child, the BBC version of Aslan was magical. You almost believed it was a real lion talking. The BBC version also stayed closer to the book's adaptation of Aslan. And that brings up another interesting point that we'll come back to in terms of how you depict a character and how closely a good script is tied to that. And then lastly, Bartek Jezuski, I have to admit, even though you're saying English is your second language, you're better at English than I am at pronouncing your name, so I apologize. But Bartek said that, quote, I have reservations about the opinion that Aslan should have a deep, strong voice. In my opinion, Aslan should have a deep but silent voice like the Breath of Spring, unquote. So a lot of interesting, well-thought-out points there. Thank you, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So... with all those thoughts in mind and all the things we've already mentioned, let's just start off. And we'll start with you, Jim Fan. What is your favorite character depiction of Aslan, or do you have one? And why is Aslan so hard to get right?
I think for me, my personal favorite is the Walden version, because I think out of all the interpretations that I've seen, and I've seen all of them except for the very old one, the very oldest one. I think that as technically they got the closest to kind of just like technically portraying him right. And I liked Liam Neeson's portrayal, like the way that he did his lines and decided to portray the character. I think if there was a limiting factor, it's more like, I think technology has not advanced to the point where you could get Aslan to be able to be as, and I don't know what's a good word, but like as expressive or have as much of a personality as you need him to kind of really fully embody the character. I think there were some things that kind of limited them. And so maybe you're like, well, Aslan is like kind of a little bit more laid back and he's not as wild as I thought he ought to be. Well, maybe that was just simply technical limitations. I think some of it was also the screenwriting, but that's a different discussion altogether. But to answer the second question, why are things hard to get right? I think the technical aspect is difficult and it puts a limiting factor on how people in film or in visual mediums are able to portray Aslan.
Yeah, I would say, I'd say that the technical, Aslan is obviously a challenging character to put on film technically, but I don't think that's the most difficult thing to, I don't think that's the thing that makes him such a challenging character. I think it's that how all the different sides to him are what make him Aslan. And if he's just one or two of them, he's not Aslan. It's the fact that he's not safe. You see him, you see a scary lion that could bite your head off, but you also see that he's good. You also see that he seems knowable. You can talk to him. You can look him in the eye and relate to him on some level, like have a relationship with him. But he also has this mystery and this unknowable quality to him at the same time. And somehow, just having one or two of those in the character, it's not really Aslan anymore. What makes him Aslan is that he's all those things. And actually, I would say the least technically impressive Aslan, which is the 1967 version, with the black and white made-for-TV version, which, by the way, only about 20 minutes of that still survives. The rest has just been thrown away. So I can't judge that 100% for sure, but what I see of that Aslan is kind of encouraging, I think. I can't say he's my favorite Aslan because I've only seen a few minutes of it, but he gets the kingliness. He's really majestic. He's definitely threatening. His roar, which is just a guy going, rah, is way better than Liam Neeson. Like, Liam Neeson's really disappointing. The couple of times Aslan really roars is, wait, did he roar? Like, I barely felt that in my subwoofer. So at least David Suchet in Focus on the Family has an awesome roar. I'll say that. but the Aslan in the 1967 version that they show, he has this kingly pride and majesty. And then when he's walking to the stone table and he needs to feel the girls there so that he doesn't feel alone, you really feel that. Like, wow, this powerful lion is so vulnerable. For me personally, I thought Liam Neeson was kind of one note. He didn't really sell the majesty and the power and the, oh my gosh, the power of a lion that much. So when he wanted the girls to be close, it didn't seem like it was that much of a reversal. And he's just kind of one note in his performance, I think. I don't get the different layers of it. So he's a hard character to get right because of all the nuanced things you have to nail to really make him Aslan. It's also, when you have a character that's basically all powerful, it can be all powerful and good. It can be difficult to make that character, I guess, not annoying in a way. Someone who's just that powerful and that good, you know, it can be, and it doesn't really, like, Aslan doesn't really change. We learn more about him, but he doesn't really change or have an arc. So that's a tricky thing to get right. And I think Lewis used the fact that he was writing a book to his advantage, that Lewis could say things like, it made the children feel this way. It made them go all trembly. Right. It was, he can kind of say things like that. In a movie, you can't just say it. You have to actually dramatize. You have to actually do it. So that's Lewis taking advantage of the medium that he's in. It's a lot trickier to do that in a movie. Like, everyone can kind of make their own private movie and make their own Aslan when they're reading the books. That's the power of reading a book. But of course, in a movie, you can't do that. But before we started recording, I promised you guys that just a short time ago, I'd come up with what I think could be a good jumping off point for Aslan. I think I'll just throw this out there without giving too much explanation because I'm a natural troll.
This is going to be weird. I can sense it.
Well, I did a little bit of Black Friday shopping. I don't like get up first thing in the morning or anything, or I don't stand in line or anything. But around 11 o'clock in the morning or so, I just went and picked up a couple movies. One of them was The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly with Clint Eastwood. So, I don't know if you guys are familiar with a lot of Clint Eastwood movies. Have you guys seen any Clint Eastwood movies?
Yes, I've seen lots of Clint Eastwood films.
Yeah, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Fistful of Dollars, For a Few Dollars More. Anyway, so I was thinking what. You got it. That, by the way, might be my, it's one of my favorite movie scores ever. So what's interesting, and even if you haven't seen The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, or one of those classic westerns, I'm sure you're familiar with the archetype. He's the guy who doesn't seem to have a backstory. He doesn't say much. He's usually smoking a cigarette. And he's like, he seems very in control all the time. We don't know a lot about his backstory. And that's kind of what makes him intriguing. And you're all, not even really sure. He seems like he's the good guy. It seems like that's how they're presenting him.
Yeah, but is he the good guy is the real question.
But you're not always totally sure which way he's going to go. And is he going to do the right thing at the end? You're not totally sure. Anyway, I'm not saying that Clint Eastwood should play Aslan, although I don't want to throw that idea out altogether. but it's that unknowable.
Hey, he's playing the mule. He might play the lion next.
Oh, that's a good point. Could be foreshadowing. But just the fact that it's the intriguing part of that character is that you don't know, you're not sure about his backstory, and slowly you learn more about what are his motivations and is he good or is he bad? He seems good-ish, but he's not incapable of doing dark things. I'm not saying all that perfectly describes Aslan. I'm saying that one of the keys to getting Aslan right is teasing you about who is this guy? You know, and slowly learning more details about him. Throughout the series, we slowly learn more about Aslan.
Who knew the $3 DVD bin at Walmart would hold these secrets to Narnia?
How dare you? It was Best Buy and it was $5, okay?
Oh my gosh.
It's true. That's where the answer was all along. Anyway, so I think that the thing with Aslan, a lot of versions have missed is setting up the mystery and the question of who is he and where did he come from and what is he able to do and what is he able to not do? What will he do? And like, what is he really capable of? He's not safe, but he's good. And they don't. And I think the Walden version in particular put all the emphasis on the kids and didn't really have a lot of foreshadowing of Aslan. So I think that's probably the key to getting Aslan right.
You're hitting on something, a key, and then I'll answer the question, but a key ingredient I think that's going to be essential, like for example, in the Netflix Narnia coming out. You hit on it with Clint Eastwood, and you actually hit on it even as you were talking about how Lewis wrote the character taking advantage of the medium of the book form. And that's getting the art right, because you're going to have to use good art to really get the character right. And I think that, I mean, that's part of why, you know, Clint Eastwood films have a lot of their power. And so I actually see where you were going with that. Good job on the Clint Eastwood bit.
Oh, wow. But, okay. I thought you guys were going to go, what? We don't need Aslan in a Western. We don't need Aslan smoking cigars.
But it's, but, and that's why, like, I am so torn, because I actually am very, I don't really have a favorite depiction of Aslan. Not really. Because, like, there's some moments in the Family Radio Theater, I mean, the first time you're introduced to Aslan, if you're doing it in chronological order, where he is, we're children, it's like, oh my goodness, this is awful. Who hired this guy? It's just,
he's got a great sounding voice.
Performances are really weird. But then you listen to the chapter, The Unwelcome Fellow Traveler, and The Horse and His Boy, and he nails it.
That's pretty good.
I mean, he does it. Yeah. I can't ask for a better depiction of Aslan. It just, from a voice performance.
One who has waited long for you to speak.
But good job. But you know, like, I felt like I really do appreciate the BBC Aslan. I actually like the voice actor a lot. My issues with it is that, I mean, I felt like it was so limiting. It's very one dimensional in terms of you get a very good Aslan who's very calm, which he was, but you don't get any of the Aslan was not safe. You're missing so many dimensions to the character. So I guess I can say I appreciate the depiction, because I can appreciate maybe the limitations of trying to do an Aslan in that day and age. But, you know, when it comes to the Walden production, I mean, visually, he looked great in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I thought Liam Neeson was a good quality voice. But I agree with you. There's something missing in the emotion. I didn't think there was a lot of artistic expression used in here. Let's really flesh out this character. Let's really show a lot of dimension. And I can't ignore the fact, and this goes back to the note that Ellie Arnett made. You know, obviously, if I were to try to make an Aslan today, you know, if I were producing the Netflix Narnia series, on the face of it, the Aslan would look a lot more like the Walden Media depiction than the BBC depiction. But I can't ignore the fact that the BBC version stayed closer to the script. And you had some very key lines about Aslan's character. I mean, in Prince Caspian, in the Walden version, which on some levels I like, worlds better than the BBC version, is telling Lucy, well, every year that you grow, so shall I. Completely missing some key...
Totally changing the line, yeah.
It changes the line. It changes a lot. And
just to clarify, like in the book, it's every year you grow, you will find me bigger. In the movie, it was changed to every year you grow, you shall I, so shall I. So in the movie, in the book, it's Lucy's perception of Aslan that's changing. In the movie, Aslan is actually changing because Lucy's getting older, which is weird.
Yeah. And so, when I was talking about how I could appreciate the BBC version, yeah, I get it. You're yawning and stuff. I completely get it there. The thing is that at some point, there's certain parts of the character that the Walden version missed. Now, if they had really done a good job sticking to key Aslan lines, even with maybe some things I didn't appreciate as much about Liam Neeson's performance, even with maybe some... Here, let's just do a really good CG Aslan and get a good A-list actor and throw him in there. Beyond that, maybe that would make it my favorite depiction of Aslan if they had at least gotten the script right. So right now, I feel torn. And, you know, like in some ways, someday, I guess Monday and Tuesday, I feel like David Suchet is my favorite Aslan. Wednesday, Thursday, I like the BBC version. Friday, Saturday, you know, I really like the Walden versions. And then on Sundays, I'm reading the books.
Yeah. I think it's really good to point out that, because we both mentioned this, but I think we can agree that in the Walden media movies, they didn't really kind of know what to do with Aslan. Like, they didn't really get the sense of his character that you get in the books. And so, yeah, if there's one thing that we can all agree on that was lacking, that's it. So I think if in the new adaptation, I'm really very interested to see what direction they're going to go with that. If they're going to choose to make it more Aslan focused, which I think if they did that, that would be really awesome and kind of get it a lot closer to the books in terms of like the whole feel and focus.
Right. I actually wonder, and I can't remember, when did I say it? At some point, maybe it was in the Facebook live stream I did, but it kind of occurred to me that the technical limitation, you know, we're always talking about concerns about the budget with Netflix and how do you portray an Aslan that feels, you know, realistic enough. And someone had commented, well, they're CG lions in the Lemony Snicket series. And just to clarify, it's one thing to have a CG lion. It's another thing to have a lion that has to emote and have a character and interact with other actors.
Absolutely.
That's really what's expensive. Like, I can go online right now and download a 3D lion model. That's not the problem. I mean, look, obviously not as good as like something that, you know, Disney could do or something. The problem is the artistry that goes into making you look into an animated face and believe that's a real person, that there's a soul behind those eyes. That takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of skill from very talented people to make that come alive. That's the real challenge. But the technical and budgetary limitations might work in our favor with Netflix, because I think they'll be forced to come up with other ways to make Aslan impressive. It can't just be, look at this awesome realistic lion, you know, that's can emote and it can roar and be exciting. They're going to have to come up with other cheaper creative ways to do it. And I think it's very possible we could end up with a better adaptation of Aslan as a result. We'll have to think, well, we'll have to figure out a way to maybe use the atmosphere to create a sense of how great Aslan is or how powerful he is or something like that.
As long as they keep the focus on Aslan and don't just say, well, let's just emphasize him less.
Exactly. And that's the thing is, like, I'll say that the like, what do I like better, Walden or BBC? Like, on one hand, I think that BBC as a screenplay does do a better job of explaining why Aslan's even in this movie, emphasizing his importance, that he's really Narnia's only hope. So when Aslan does die in the BBC version, even though I have problems with the pacing of the BBC version, I have problems with the effects do take me out of it, and I overall don't think it's a great adaptation. But when Aslan does die, I understand why this is an important part of the story. Whereas me personally, in the Walden version, it's, oh, that's sad, but really it's the kids they've been setting up as Aslan's as Narnia's only hope.
Yeah.
I was disappointed. I was really let down with how lacking in emotion I felt. And
well, I should really, maybe there's so many people that love the movie, and we like the movies too overall, and I think that's
sure.
I need to emphasize that I think that was a good scene. It was fine. It was pretty well done, but it doesn't have the level of emotional devastation you feel in the book, because they've set up Aslan as Narnia's only hope. In the movie, it feels more like the kids are Narnia's real hope.
And I'll just throw it out there, because I felt surges of emotion watching the Walden film, but I got
sure.
a bigger emotional swell in my heart during the battle charge scene than I did Aslan dying.
Yeah, which is not really that's not what you should be thinking.
And I do like you did it. I didn't really try to go over it. Why is Aslan hard to adapt? Because you did such a good job, I thought, Glumpuddle, laying out all the reasons why. But I have to throw this out there, just letting you guys know, I have played Aslan in a school play.
Yay.
Ooh!
I don't know if footage exists.
We've got to add you to our list of betrayals.
I was brought in. Basically, their Aslan said, "Is a short story, very short story." Their Aslan basically said, "I can't do this. I don't want to be on stage," and just quit. I think a week before they actually decided to do the play.
You see, the character is just that intimidating.
He basically said, can you do it? Can you memorize the whole play in like 4 days for the dress rehearsal? Like, sure. So I basically became Aslan. And they had this, like, they said, okay, I thought, okay, I'm not going to walk on all fours. This is going to be weird. And they said, okay, well, here's a lion costume. And they gave me like a gold curly wig.
Nice. Like Wizard of Oz.
And they said, well, this is what you're going to wear. I said, over my dead body. And they said, no, like, what are you going to wear? I said, something else. And so I went out and found, because I thought, okay, this is a play, time to be artistic. So I went out, found someone who had a lion costume and said, you know what? I've got shaggy blonde hair. We're going to do just my hair, the makeup, and then do like a mane around, but nothing, with goofy ears on the top of my head. And it actually looked kind of okay for a school play. And I made a little five-year-old boy. I made a little five-year-old boy cry when I died. I'm just throwing it out there.
And now you've got to do the voice, by the way.
No.
Okay.
I don't think I even did the voice then.
Oh, okay. So you're doing the voice right now.
I just
now.
Tried
okay.
the best I could, dude.
Okay.
Did the best I could. And I had to do a weird goofy roar too and not make it sound like I'm a moron. You know? So I feel for the 1903? The 1967 dude. Whatever, Mr. 1967 dude, if you're alive, I feel for you. You're not my favorite Aslan, but I respect, bro.
How do I know your promises will be kept?
I'm going to throw this out there. I'm looking forward to the Logos Theater productions coming up.
Logos,
sorry.
We're seeing it together.
We're going to see it together. That's the plan. And I'm going to keep an open mind. That may become my favorite depiction of Aslan, depending on how it's done artistically, the script. Who knows? Maybe I have yet to see my favorite all-time Aslan.
And I'm sure we'll do a review or something. It's March 1st is when the performance is, which is just about when season 4 will be starting up again. So I'm sure we'll be doing something with that. Which reminds me that Jim Fenn, you won't be there because you won't be on the podcast next season, most likely.
Maybe.
Traveling the
we
world
don't know.
Again.
Yes. Maybe not.
So in the comments, let us know what you think of the different versions of Aslan, what Netflix can do better, and also pay your respects to Jim Fan.
I'm not dying, people, okay?
And let us know how much you think we should pay her, because we don't want to have to pay her more than we really have to keep her. So let us know what you think she will bite on to stay for next season.
Yeah, show me the money, people.
Buy enough mugs and we'll bring Jim Fan back. Jim Fan, if you come back, I will double your salary. You know, 10 times the salary.
Whoa, now that is an offer I just cannot refuse.
What is 10 times zero again? Okay. All right, Rillian, it's time for the last Stumpin' Arnie Weber question of the season. Okay, once again, this one was, well, a Hogglestock kind of submitted the idea for it, then I kind of adapted it. But the question, once again, Rillian, by my count, in the Chronicles of Narnia, 6 stars and 3 constellations are named. How many can you name?
Well... okay, I've got... Okay, go ahead and give me the hint.
Okay. I may have to write this one down. But 3 of these stars are given dialogue in Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Well, yeah, that's Ramandu and... Okay, yeah, Ramandu, Cori Arkin, and I was trying to remember... I don't know if his daughter counts, though.
Yes.
She does?
I'm counting his daughter. I guess
he's
that
counting
is
his daughter. Okay, because I mean,
you
my
could
first thought was like,
one, but I'll
okay.
Count
well,
it.
As far as individual stars, I don't think there's any individual stars named other than Ramandu and Cori Arkin and then Ramandu's daughter. So that's 3.
All right. And then I've got another part of that hint. Yes, one of the constellations is mentioned by Lucy in Prince Caspian. She says, "Dear old blank." So far you've got Ramandu. And Ramandu's
okay,
daughter.
So let's do Ramandu, Ramandu's daughter, Cori Arkin. I remember a bear. I think that's what Lucy references in Prince Caspian. And I seem to recall... I want to say a centaur, but that's the one I'm most shaky on. And that's really... I mean... If I said anything else, I'd just be saying, oh, there's Narnia has fawns and trees and mountains. Are there goblets? Yes, a goblet too. Yeah. So yeah, I'm going
right.
to, my answer is going to be Ramandu, Ramandu's daughter, Cori Arkin, a bear, a centaur, and I'm going to have to, a dwarf. How about we just throw a dwarf in there? Always value the dwarves.
See what sticks.
Okay, yeah, see what sticks. But no, really, my real guess is beyond the 3 characters are a bear and centaur.
Okay, so then the answer to the question, how many can you name? The answer was you can name 3. because there are, and you're going to kick yourself when I tell you the first two. So the 6 stars, the first two are Tarva and Allumbil.
Oh!
Yeah.
Yeah, from mentioned in Prince Caspian.
I knew they were named, I just couldn't remember what they were called.
Right.
You're right.
then then 3 of them you named, Cori Arkin, Ramandu, and we're going to go ahead and count Ramandu's daughter. The final one is Aravir, briefly mentioned in Prince Caspian as the Morning Star.
I would not have remembered that.
Yeah,
that's
super obscure. Then the 3 constellations are the Ship, the Hammer, and the Leopard. The Leopard is the one mentioned by Lucy in Prince Caspian.
The Leopard.
Oh. Okay.
Ship, the Hammer,
yeah.
And the Leopard.
Dear old Leopard, she says.
Okay.
And Tarva is the Lord of Victory, and Allumbil is the Lady of Peace.
See, I feel like I should have got those. You're right, I am kicking myself.
Thanks for playing.
Yeah, do I get to cut my salary in half because I only got 3 of the characters?
Participation award.
Oh, everybody wins. We're millennials.
All right.
Y'all get a prize.
You get a gold star.
A gold star. I get it.
Oh, me and you are slow. Took you a second.
Were you even trying?
Nope.
Well, that's why we need you back, Jim Fan.
Ah.
Well, that is it for season 3. Jim Fan, thanks for joining us. And maybe if you guys, listeners, post enough comments or send enough spam emails to jimfan15@narnieweb.com, maybe we can get her back on here. But you'll be a little busy next season, off in another country.
Well, yeah, you know, it's just time zone differences. I'm hoping on being able to make it work. So let's go with that, and we'll see what happens.
You can also harass her on Twitter, because we are all on the Twitter. I'm at Prince_Rillian.
That's right.
You could harass me on Twitter. I might not see it for a while, though.
Oh, don't do it there, then. So yeah, a lot of the topics we chose this season were kind of driven by stuff I want to talk about. Well, I've got Jim Fan around, because obviously we interrupted our Horse and His Boy commentary, and definitely want to finish that up next season, and probably, if that's what listeners want, continue on with The Magician's Nephew. But great season, guys. I'll be back probably sometime in March. Please keep listening. Please keep buying mugs. That'd be a great way to support the podcast and help keep us going. Like, we've all been joking about our salaries. If anyone didn't get the sarcasm, no one on Narnia Web gets paid. Everyone's a volunteer, and a lot of us have contributed a lot of our own time and a lot of our own money, and a lot of the funds we'll raise from the mugs will help reimburse us so that we can keep on doing this. All right. Well, Jim Fan, let's let you take it out. The final outro of the season.
Is that a slow clap? Okay. All right. You've been listening to Talking Beasts, a NarniaWeb.com podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. And be sure to subscribe and post a comment below or in the Talking Beasts Facebook group. You can also email us at podcast@NarniaWeb.com, Rillian@NarniaWeb.com, JimFan15@NarniaWeb.com, or GlumPuddle@NarniaWeb.com. Special thanks to the rest of our podcast team, AJ Aiken, Ryidian, and the Rose Tree Dryad. For the latest Narnia Netflix news, visit NarniaWeb.com. And that's it for season 3. We'll be back. And I should say that Glumpuddle is trying to type things into the outro, but I'm not going to say it because it's just not true.
What a pro. We need you back.
And until then, further up and further in.